you glad that he lives in you?
Amen.
Am I on? Can you hear okay? Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Won't you just greet your neighbor right there and just stretch just a moment? And, amen. Your neighbor right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's Easter. Amen. And so just so glad to be here with you this morning. And just enjoyed those thoughts from Brother Derek. And we certainly love Brother Derek with all of our hearts. Amen. What an example that has been put before you here in New Zealand. And that's God's man, and God's got many men here, but I certainly do appreciate Brother Derek with all of my heart. The vision for this convention, and I just am honored that I have had the opportunity to be here with you, and I'm sounding like this is my last service. But anyway, I just have been thrilled to be here. Some of the young people came here yesterday morning after the service, and they just made me feel right at home. They just began to tell me my bloopers that I made yesterday. And up until then, I kind of felt like I was in a foreign land. And then you guys begin to tell me about a woman deacon. And thank you. Amen. So, and I don't believe in women deacons. Amen, amen. It's certainly good to be here, isn't it? And we love you with all of our hearts. Wasn't that a wonderful message last night? That was just a masterpiece. My heart was just filled with, and we just really relished that. And so I'm certainly glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you will turn with me to Genesis chapter 23. Genesis chapter 23 this morning. The greatest news flash in history happened about 2,000 years ago. Our Lord arose. Amen. Amen. I seem to have the jitters like Brother Harold must have left them up here. Amen. He called them butterflies. I call them jitters. Amen. Genesis chapter 23, and just before we read, we'll ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Lord Jesus, we're very aware that you're here this morning. And we know without a doubt that, Father, you have transformed our lives. And Lord, we felt the tug from you many years ago to come, and you begin to deal with our hearts. You became personal to us. This book that we're beginning to read, it became our love letter. Men were moved by the Holy Spirit, and you breathed your life upon them, and they begin to write it. And it's more than just a story. It's more than just a scripture. And Lord, I ask you this morning as we're here, this could be the last Easter service that we ever have on this side. And Lord, I just pray that you would just come and anoint us in a special way. For we too are dead to sin, and we rise to walk in a newness of life. And we ask you that you would anoint our thoughts, collect them. And Lord, this nervousness that has come, we ask you to just help us to deal with it for a moment. And Lord, I just pray that you would just bless this congregation. You're the husband of this group. And I pray that you would bless Brother Derek and all the officers of his church. And I pray that you would bless the everybody that set this meeting up and all that have come from so far. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to them individually. And Lord, may we be like those on the road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn within us as we had a few moments to come into your presence? And you're the one that makes all the difference in the world. And Lord, I ask you that you would help us today. And Lord, speak to us, we ask you, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Genesis chapter 23 and verse 1. And Sarah was 127 years old. And these were the life of Sarah. And Sarah died at Kiriath-Jearim, and the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham mourned for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dad and spake to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham and saying unto him, Hear us, my Lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead, and none of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even the children of Heth, and he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me unto Ephron the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth. He shall give it to me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham and the audience of the children of Heth, even of all went in at the gate of his city, saying, Nay, my Lord, hear me, give the field I give thee, and the cave is therein, I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people, give I it thee, bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed himself before the people of the land, and he spake unto Ephron and the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me. I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered unto Abraham, saying unto him, My Lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore my dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron and to Abraham, and weighed unto Ephron the silver which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current of money with the merchant. And the field of Ephron, which was in the Machpelah, he says, which was before Mamre, the field, the cave of which was therein. Notice he just lays out the boundaries of it. And all the trees that were in the field and that were in the borders round about were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of the presence of the children of Heth, and before all that went in at the gate. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah. And therefore Mamre the same of Hebron in the land of Canaan, and in the field and in the cave that is therein, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. You may be seated. I apologize for the long reading, but I have some intent in that. Abraham had a special relationship with Sarah. As he's standing there, and we realize that this is the love of his youth. They had been married. This was his half-sister. They had been married very young at age. They had, kind of like you and I, had went through good times and bad times together. They had had some moments of greatness, and they had had some moments of deep despair. But there was something that was much deeper on this day that he was thinking about. Not only was he wanting to marry his queen, but he wanted a piece of ground that was special. He wanted a piece of ground that was not given to him. He wanted a piece of ground that he could say, this is my possession, this is my own. Because this is just not another lady. This is my queen. We have shared some incredible times together. I'm sure as his mind began to go back and he began to think on these things, he began to think about how that God had elected him and chose him. Out of all the millions of people on the earth, God had chose him, which is a special spot. Out of a million people, he had chose him. He was elected. He was chosen of God. And God had spoke to him and he said, he had told him that I'm going to make you a great nation. God had told him lip to ear, I will bless thee. I am thy shield and I am your buckler. God had told him, I'm going to have a covenant between me and thee. He was one of the only men ever on the earth that God would have this kind of special relationship, that he would call him a friend. Abram had been changed from Abram to Abraham. He had heard the voice of God that told him to begin to move. And he moved from his comfort zone of home. He had moved from his job. He had moved from the land that he had grew up in to walk and follow the voice of the Lord. He had been called to have a relationship with God unlike any other men before. And he begins to move. At first he brought his father, he brought Lot. And in his own energies, he had brought Lot and become a part of his church. And he had shared the testimony of hearing the voice of Jehovah. And he had heard all of this and he had begun to speak it to him. And as they began to progress forward and they had talked about the relationship with God. And as they began to mature, they went so far and then they traveled on. He had saw how that many times in our relationships of life, you know, we come into our Christian experience, and as Brother Derek has said some things yesterday and things this morning, we walk to the altar, we repent of our sins. And whether we realize it or not, that's just a starting spot. That's kind of where the gun goes off in the race. And you begin to step forward. Now you'll spend the rest of your life developing the character that it will take to make the rapture. You'll eat the word and it will be your source of strength. And it will be your hiding place. It will be your rock in the middle of your wilderness. It will be the place that Satan will try to bombard you and muddle your minds and distract you and bring you all kinds of circumstances. There's going to be some good times for you. And there's going to be some very dark hours that you're going to walk in. There's going to be great relationships that you're going to build with friends and confidants. And there's going to be relationships that you walk along for a while and all of a sudden you see that kind of drift aside. Some will bring you great pain. When God told Abram, he said, there's time for a separation. And he told him about Lot. Lot had a different vision than Abraham had. None of us like separation. There's not a one of us here this morning that likes separation. Every one of us like to be liked. Every one of us like to be liked. But God knew that he had not called Lot. Lot had been called by Abraham. Lot had been called by Abraham. And Abraham, in all of his energies, could not convert Lot. And so many times we think, oh, I just got to have this friend. And we build a lot of things around relationships that weren't God ordained. They cause us incredible problems. A lot of times we build so much of our energies around things that we call associations. And then as God begins to move us in a certain direction, it is those relationships that we have built that causes us incredible pain and incredible sorrow. Are you with me now? I've got reasons to go here. And so, and as he begins to see, now God is calling me for a higher call. He's calling me for a higher relationship, and now this has got to break away. I'm sure that day when he was standing there, and I'm just kind of, I have a theme thought for that. He's watching Sarah as she's died, he's going back through the memories and the deep thoughts of those milestones in his life. And so as he's standing and watching Lot, And the Bible says that he tells Lot, if you go this way, I'll go that way. You go here, I'll go there. You go over here, I'll go there. Because there's got to be a distinct separation. And I'm sure in his mind, his heart must have been incredibly grieved when he's watching Lot. And listen, there's nothing that he can say. The dictionary doesn't have a word to fix this hollow place. This hollow place that is in his stomach. There's not a word that he can say just now as he watches Lot examine the possibilities. As he examines the possibilities and he looks out over the possibilities that he's looking at. And he's looking at Sodom. And he's looking at the well-watered plains of Sodom. He might be looking at job situations. He might be looking at college. He might be looking at this. And I'm just kind of going to Laodicea. A bigger church, better education, better class of people, better job, better home. And Lot could never at this point see himself as the mayor of the city. He could never at this point see that sin is going to take him further than he ever thought he would go. He never thought that that little weak spot in his life that he never got fixed. That little fox, that little weak besetting sin, that thing that he had left undone was now under the pressures of Sodom and Gomorrah, was now going to hold him captive. Lot, no way in his mind, he probably thought, you know, like many times he probably looked at Abraham and he said, we'll be together many days. We'll worship many days together. We will go through life and everything will be wonderful and fine. Everything is going to be good, Abraham. And Abraham knowing in his heart, today's the last day. It'll never be the same. He watches Lot move off. Now, separation is bad for Lot, but it's good for Abraham. I've been in business for years, since I was 18 years old. And I have watched God bless and I have watched God take away. But I've always remembered, I'm not here for business. It is only a tool. It is only something that I've got to do. You've got to work. You've got to have a home. But remember, it's only a temporary project. And remember, you're only wanting in this next 24 hours to be a better Christian. Are you with me now? You're only wanting to be a better Christian. So Abraham, as he begins to watch this, he can't see really the long range vision sometimes. But as he's watching Lot move away, God now is going to come down and tell him, come walk with me. That's what he's asking you today. He's asking the bride of Jesus Christ, you're my queen. You're bone of my bones. Your life of my life. Your spirit of my spirit. When Brother Brown was talking about God whispering secrets to you, and you're listening to the tapes, and you're going to church, and God is anointing the gift that you're listening to on the weekends and on Wednesday night, and then you listen to the tapes and you push play and you hear the voice of that prophet and you feel the presence of the Lord when he comes to you in the pew. And God is saying to you, little white, you're the wife of the king, come walk with me. I want to be with you in Laodicea. I want to be with you in this bride age. I want to live with you. Oh, sure we enjoy the rushing mighty wind. Sure we enjoy the presence of the Lord that comes down. But Abraham enjoyed just another day with Sarah. Hallelujah. He enjoyed just another day, an average day with Sarah. God just enjoys washing dishes with you. God just enjoys putting on an apron. He enjoys washing the car with you. He enjoys driving nails with you. He enjoys being a chimney sweep with you. He enjoys just going out and watching the cattle and the sheep and feeding the chickens. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes we get consumed in our mind that God's a million miles away. He enjoys sitting in the back of the church with you. He enjoys sitting there as you're rejoicing in the Lord. He just enjoys your presence. Oh, how you enjoy His faith. He just enjoys your presence. Because remember, you were an attribute in the thought of God that was in God's photo album before the foundation of the world. He knew what color hair that you would have, the eyes. He knew how your personality would be. And now you're here on the earth. And you're the express form of His attributes. You're the physical attribute of God now. He just enjoys spending time with you. We can stop right there and shout. We can stop right there and literally shout. You're talking about a magic carpet ride. That's a magic carpet ride, isn't it? We get so hungry to see Him. We get so thirsty to feel His presence. We long to get where He's at. He's there all the time. God begins to speak to him, and he would go and see the pillar of fire move through the sacrifices. He would get out of the will of the Lord and go to Egypt, get himself in trouble, pick up Hagar, which would cause him problems. None of us are angels sitting here this morning. There's been days in our map that we've been off course just a little bit too. We're so eager to tell everybody else when they're off course, but there's been days when we've been off course. There's been days that our compass wasn't exactly right. There's been days when we looked for a source of strength and it wasn't exactly where we should be eating from. I didn't expect your amens to be shouting right there. But Abraham, as he begins to get closer to God, God recognizes that human frailty. When we listen to the tapes and we listen to the books and we look at ourselves and the man in the mirror, and we think that within ourselves, I within myself can never do this. All of my strength and all of my intellectual ability, I can never be what I need to be. And not only do you recognize that, and the quicker that you recognize that, the better off you are. And Abraham, as he begins to progress forward, God keeps telling him, I'm going to give you a son, and it's going to come by Sarah. In all of his energies and all of his trying, it never happens. But God begins to let him know, now Abraham, I'm going to take you a step higher. I'm going to change your name. I'm going to come and I'm going to put part of myself. We heard last night a masterpiece on partnership. Now Abraham, I have to have you. I have to have you. But I want you to partner with me. I want you to partner with me. And in this partnership, I want you, in your fleshly being, you're going to have a son. But you need me to do it. I want you to be my wife. I want you to be my bride. But we're going to partnership in this. And it isn't just look pretty. It isn't just come and sit on the pew. But we're going to overcome Laodicea together. I realize that you want to walk on streets of gold, and I realize that you want to enjoy the beauty of heaven. But we've got some work to do between here and there. I want to spend some time with you. I want to do some things with you. Because he sees our frailty. He sees our need for him. Hallelujah. So he's made a covenant between he and I. And listen, a covenant is greater than a blessing. God swore by himself when he would swear by no greater. I want you to understand Abraham. Abram in that form could not produce the promise. Sarah in her dominating female spirit could not produce the promise. Hagar was not a part of the promise. Ishmael was not the promise. That was not the covenant, because God had something even greater on his mind. Greater than even Isaac. Because remember, he also had had a meeting with a man named Adam. And he had saw the book slip out from his hand. And God in his mind said, I'm going to bruise his heel. Listen, God and his arch enemy was standing eye to eye. And he was telling and making him a covenant as well. Hallelujah. God was entering into this covenant with Abraham. And in this form of Abram, he could not produce it. But Abraham, with God living, with God placed in his name and changing his nature, why you've got to have a new birth. Being a preacher's son don't give it to you. Being a deacon's daughter doesn't give it to you. Sitting on this pew all your life doesn't do it. You've got to be transformed by the power of God. You've got to meet the person of this word. God will not rapture computers. He will not rapture your Bible. He's going to rapture vessels of clay that has been filled with the presence of God. Now, Abraham begins to walk with God. Now, as he has watched Sarah deteriorate, you have an appreciation for age after you begin to get a little of it on you. When you're 18, you don't understand everything. You think you do. You think you've got the tiger by the tail when you're 18 and you can jump across the gate. But there'll be a day that you're just hoping that you can open the gate. There'll be days that there's a day that you can remember everything that come by your way. There'll be days that you don't even remember your own name. Abraham had watched this in his life. He had watched himself deteriorate. There's nothing more frustrating sometimes than watching your own body deteriorate. I got some nods of heads all over this building, and they're not young people. It's extremely frustrating. He'd lived with his wife all of these years, and they couldn't produce any children. They'd enjoyed one another. They went through highs and lows, and now he's watching Sarah, a once beautiful girl, stooping her shoulders, begin to walk a little bit slower. Oh, he heard her grumble, but that didn't bother him. He'd heard her fuss about clothes need to go in a certain spot after you're done with them. Shoes at the door. He'd heard all that. He got used to it. And no other man would have put up with her. She was his. They had now stooped and they were walking a little bit slower now. But he kept saying, we're going to have a son. God told me in a prayer meeting, Sarah, we're going to have a son. And listen, it must have been irritating. For a while it was a nice thing. We're going to have a kid. But after a while, she just got bored. She got frustrated. She got aggravated at his advances. Is this okay? There came a day she didn't need sugar on the cheek. There came a day she didn't want to hold his hand so much. There came a day that him putting his arms around her, you know, I'm busy, I've got to wash the dishes. Now, Brother Branham said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? He said, on a certain day, he said, she was a little fussy and stewy. Because she saw Mrs. Lott with a new outfit on. And the caravans didn't come by her way. Maybe a new hat and a little softer clothes. And there they were up there in the wilderness. And, you know, they were all alone. And she just was in a fussy, fussy way. Never happens at your house. But she was just stewy. Brother Brown said it was Satan trying to block the visitation of God. And God, who created the sun, moon, and stars, stepped into a body. He spoke to his angels and said, we're going down and spend some time with Abraham. It's come time for the visitation. They can't do this on their own now. They'll never make the rapture on their own. They've come to the realization they've been around long enough. They can't make the rapture on their own. I'm going to go and visit them. He stepped into a body. Melchizedek. No beginning of days. No ending of nights. He formed himself. Immortal. Formed himself in a body. He stepped into that body and he began to walk down the road that Abraham had walked down. And by now dust was beginning to settle on his clothes. But now he's beginning to get a little smell on him like Abraham would have. Now Abraham was a worshiper of our God. And Abraham was sitting at the gate. And Brother Ram said he was sitting at the gate and said he was creating an atmosphere. And he was creating an atmosphere where God could feel comfortable at. Oh, that we could make God feel comfortable in our home. That our home would be a sanctuary to where that he would come in the morning when the dew is on the ground. That we can enter and begin to worship him. Oh, hallelujah. Abraham rose and he saw them coming. Now, Brother Ben said he wasn't a Trinitarian. There were three coming, but he recognized the Lord. He wasn't confused which one it was. He recognized the voice of his bridegroom. He recognized his king. And he bowed and called him the Lord and invited him in. He had the calf, had a goat killed, brought milk, made him comfortable, and they began to have a conversation. And God reminded him, like he reminds you in services like this, Whether you've recognized it or not, God has came to you. Not necessarily this, but God has came. We have become aware that there's a supernatural presence in this building over the last few days. And God has came. He's got something on his mind. And God had something on his mind this day. And they begin to talk. And they begin to have a conversation. And we can hear Brother Branham begin to break into it. So there he's standing, looking into his eyes. And they're sitting across from one another under the trees. And he said, Abraham is shooing the flies away from him. And he said that they're beginning to talk. And he said, Abraham, I've made you a promise. I've made you a promise that you're going to be the father of nations. And he begins to talk to him about this time next year. I'm going to visit you with a son. And then he began to ask him for the second part. Where's the second part of this thing at? Where is thy wife Sarah? Because it's got to be more than just Abraham. It's got to be Sarah as well. This has got to be more than a story to her. She must know me. She must recognize who I am. More than a visitor. More than another man that has come by your way. She must know me. Oh, hallelujah. Now, she had heard this for years. Now, she's working in the tent attentively. Probably just a little bit nosy old bitty for a little bit. Kind of listening. And now, whenever things begin to talk about you, you begin to perk up your ears. Now, it was okay for her to him to talk about Abraham, but now it's her. Where's your wife Sarah at? She knew where she was at. And he says, I'm going to visit you, and you're going to have a child by Sarah. Yeah, right. Why did your wife laugh? Why does she not think she's going to make the rapture? Why does she think this is not for her? Sarah, I didn't laugh. Now she steps out. I didn't laugh. In your heart. Now I want you to just watch this. In a little while, as we heard Brother Harold talk about last night, there's some negotiations goes on about Sodom. About what's going to go on there. But now, he's going to step away and allow the transformation to take place. Now, I was standing with a man that had 12 years of education one time, and I said, we were talking just to this point. I said, now what happened that's supernatural? He says, well, they go to a place and Abraham lies. I said, all right, I want to ask you what happened. What do you see as the great thing that happens? He said, well, God protected Abraham. I said, he did. I said, but have you ever thought about a man being 100 years old and a woman being 90 years old, and they make this journey, and no doubt at that age now they're wore out from the journey, and now when they enter into the city, a king that can have any woman in the land, and he has full authority of them all. If he sees someone that attracts his attention, he may have 100, but this one, he's going to take her in. I said, now can you imagine just for a moment that this king now falls in love with a 90-year-old woman? And listen, we wouldn't have known it either had not God came. And the mystery of the seals opened his book to his wife. The great halls of thinking could never pick it up. But God was going to show his wife in this end time, I'm going to transform you as well. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Brother Bram says when God did it, she was the most beautiful woman in the whole land. Some of you came in and you were Jezebels. Some of you dressed horribly. But when God transforms you, He not only changes your clothing, He not only changes the way you conduct yourself, but there's a character developed. Not just the sisters, but the brothers as well. You don't go the places you used to go. You don't do the things that you used to do. You don't say the things. You don't look at the things. You don't listen to the things. You become a real father. You become a real leader. You become a real prayer warrior. This man has seen a lot of women, but he's never seen one like her. There's billions of women on the earth, but yours has a certain thing in your voice. I read an article here a couple of years ago. It says when a man really finds that right one, they called it soulmate. They said there's something about a man said his wife can just giggle on his most stressful day and it has a calming effect. Brother Bram said, you'll come in from a long, hard day. I know this goes on at your home. You come in from a long, hard day and your wife meets you at the door and she puts her arms around you and you go over and you sit down and she goes and gets you a tea and she comes and sits on her lap, on your lap, and all your troubles just go away. I know it goes on in every one of your homes. Listen, Abraham had quoted it for years, we're going to have a son. But it's not so much trouble after her hair is back to its original color, after her shoulders are back to the original spot, after the figure's all back and his is back too. Oh, I want to have rapturing faith. When you see those resurrected saints, you're not going to need a whole lot of quotes. Hallelujah. Now Abraham has went through all of these things with her, and it now comes to the end to bury his wife, and all of these thoughts are in his mind. I'm sorry to take that much time to lay that there, but now he don't want just any piece of ground to bury her in. He don't want just any spot to put her at. He wants a piece of property that nobody else can take away from him. He wants a piece of property that will be his own and his children's. And not only he doesn't just want it given to him, but he wants an abstract title deed. And he just doesn't want an abstract. He wants that there's not one lien against this piece of property, that down the road nobody can come up and say, it's mine or my grandfather's or this or that. He wants to strike away every question. He wants to strike away every accuser. And here, these friends are saying, we want to give it to you. Listen, we want to give it to you. What's the trouble? Why won't you receive it? I never want a question about it. Well, if you're going to buy it, it is worth 400 shekels. It's worth all of this money. The highest piece of property ever sold is this deal right here. In all the history of time, property sold. Incorporated Magazine, one of the real estate magazines of the world, says the highest piece of property ever sold was the burial place for Sarah. Listen, your redemption the book had fell back into the hands of the Father. And when God watched Adam walk out of the garden, Brother Man said, L-O-V-E called him back. And he went and got two sheepskins and placed it around them and made them a promise. Every son and daughter of God would come on the earth with that little thing in their lives. We were all born in sin. We were all shaped in iniquity. Every one of us were on our way to hell. Joseph was a great man, but he was a liar. Moses was a great man, but he was a murderer. Abraham was a great man, but he told some little white lies. Brother Branham, he said, had not been for the grace of God, I would have killed those boys. I would have killed those boys. Listen, none of us wanted our closets opened up. But there was a crisis in heaven. And all the greatest preachers that ever lived would be lined up. The greatest prophets that ever stood in shoe leather would stand there. And the strong angel would proclaim, who is worthy? Who is worthy to pay the price of redemption? Boaz had played the part to get Ruth. He had to redeem Naomi. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm trying to behave. I want you to understand, God knew what it was going to take to redeem you. Satan was willing to give you a religious experience. He was willing to make you a church member. But God said, I want more than that. I want her to be bone of my bones. I want her to be my wife. I want to redeem her. I want to place my seed inside of her. Oh, hallelujah. Satan would stand there with the list against us. And he would remember every little part of your life. He would remember that weak moment as a teenager when you took that little drink to your lips. Cigarette. You looked at the wrong kind of magazine. The wrong kind of movie. You had a bad attitude. You said the wrong things. He had a record. He had a record. Remember when Moses and Elias are standing there on the Mount of Transfiguration? They have a conversation. They weren't there just to show law and the resurrection. They begin to talk to him about some things that he's getting ready to accomplish in his death. Now Jesus had watched Lazarus come forth. He proved he had power to lay his life down and power to take it up again. He proved he had power over water and turn it into wine. He proved that he could take fish, a few fish, and feed 4,000 and 5,000 people. He proved that he could multiply bread, and it wasn't just flour, but it was completely cooked. Listen, he had spent much time getting them to see who he is. But now Moses and Elias is telling him, this is now the next part of the script. This is the next part of the script for you. Look in the Word again. Jesus would pray, Father, if it would be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Because he realized in just a few hours, they were going to beat him until he's totally unrecognizable as a human being. They knew. He realized that everything that Satan hated, he hated Joseph. He hated Nahum. He hated Nehemiah. Listen, Satan hated Moses. He tried to destroy every one of God's seed. And he realized that once he surrendered himself and became obedient to the cross, that Satan would take all of his wrath out on this body. I want to ask you a question. Why? Why? Isaiah 53 said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Eve had introduced death. Every dead baby, every sickness had been introduced by Eve and allowed to come into the human race. So God, in his supreme sacrifice, has to go back and redeem all of that. Sure, they had lifted up a brass serpent in the wilderness, but it was only the type. Now the payment was coming. Hallelujah! Now the payment was getting ready to be paid. Hallelujah! Every cancer cell now had to be destroyed. Every disease of debilitation and paralysis now has to be destroyed. Every bit of tuberculosis has to be destroyed. Every cancer has to be destroyed. Are you with me now? I don't care, the greatest doctors in the world, they can't heal you. The best medicine in the world can't heal you. It only goes after the symptoms. But God is our healer. They're practicing physicians, but he's the perfecting one. When they led him to that beating block that day, those men stood there and they became anointed to take out their wrath. Listen, they had beat a lot of men. They had beat a lot of men. But now they become anointed to do it. It gets more vicious. Those demons are loosed on the body of Jesus Christ. I want to remind you, he could have winked. He could have winked at Gabriel. And Gabriel was standing there at full attention, wondering why. Why doesn't he just wink at me? Why doesn't he nod his head? I'll change the whole thing. But Gabriel couldn't see me laying in a burn center. And the doctor's telling my wife he might die. Tell him good night. Tell him whatever you've got to tell him. You may not see him in the morning. But he saw me. He saw you, Gary. He saw you, sisters. Mel Gibson couldn't do it justice in a Hollywood movie. God even turned his face. He didn't want the man to give it to him. He wanted to buy it. The people that he had loved, we're now screaming, crucify him. Because there were things in your life that needed to be to the spot that he could say, I want to take that out of their lives. He wanted to make sure that his worst enemy could never stand there and say, you didn't redeem that part. He wanted to make sure that he could take drugs out of your life. He wanted to make sure that he could take pornography out of your life. He wanted to make sure he could take temper out of your life. He wanted to make sure that every attribute of sin, he could remove it from your slate. He could make your book completely clear. When God wanted to justify you, he wants to justify you as to the point that his Clorox so bleaches you. Let's think about this just for a moment. A God that can do anything but lie. A God that can do anything but fail. The God that said, let there be sun, moon, and stars, and spoke it and believed his own word, and it came into existence. A God that can create an earth of perfection. say, Father, forgive me. He can't remember nothing. A God that knows every time that a bird or a fly or a flea would bat its eyes. A God that knows how many hairs would be on your head from your birth until the day you leave this world. A God that knew when you were coming, where you were coming, what you would be like. And all of His molding, that God has some blood that is so pure. When you ask Him for forgiveness, oh hallelujah, when you ask Him for forgiveness, that God can't remember it. I said I was going to take it easy, didn't I? I can't, Brother Ron. I can't quit the way that I'm doing it. I can't quit these habits that I've got. I can't overcome myself. I can't overcome my temper. I can't overcome my prejudice. I can't overcome my unforgiving spirit. Every time I get so far, Satan brings it back and I go right back again. Brother Ron, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried to serve God. And Satan knows my weak spot. And I find myself back down there again. Brother Bram said Nellie Saunders just stopped to listen at the music. She found herself right back in there again. Satan knows where to make you stop. He knows what piece of music that makes your heart used to tick. He knows what kind of sports used to make you tick. He knows what kind of a woman to woo you with. He knows what kind of a man to woo you with. He knows what kind of gossip and what kind of trouble. He knows all of the weak parts of your life. But God can so redeem you. Oh, hallelujah. God can so purge you. He can so wash you by the blood of Jesus Christ. That God can take His bulldozer down through your tin can alley. It's as though you never did it in the first place. Satan comes up and he says, don't you remember? No. No. Imagine it must be some frustrating meetings with God's archenemy and God. And Satan brings up things that you did just last week. Because he wants an avenue to get to you. He would destroy you if he could. Listen, don't play with him. He's not a good negotiating partner. He is not your friend. Brother Ron, I'm working this out. I got news for you. You and your flesh can't work this out. You can never make a rapture in your flesh. You have got to go to your source of strength. You have got to go to this message. You've got to immerse yourself in the Shekinah glory of God. You can't sit on a fence. Well, I'll get it fixed tomorrow. What if there's no tomorrow for you? I got the world by the tail. I thought that way too at 9 o'clock on a Monday evening. And then I lit a match. And in a couple of hours, 8 people in a rescue squad said he won't live. 4 doctors in a trauma unit said he won't live. The best doctors at UVA said we will do our very best to save his life, but we don't think he has a chance. Satan swore he'd get me.
Yeah.
He has swore he would get you. While Jesus was walking up a hard, rough, rocky road, and Satan was taking little kids and inspiring them to spit on him and curse him and knock him down, and he wouldn't even be able to hold the weight of his own cross, and a man named Simon of Cyrene, when he jumped out of the crowd, he was a follower of the Lord. Oh, listen, brothers and sisters, he would like to have got close to him. He loved him. But today, he's going to walk shoulder to shoulder. And he reaches and he picks up that cross and puts it on his butt. And he can see the Redeemer with all of his energies and with all of his strength. He can see his lungs making his skin expand. He can see his liver pulsate. He can see the blood running down off of him. That was the price. See Abraham. Making sure. And the closer he got to 400, the better he felt. The closer my Lord stepped toward Calvary. He had promised me, Brother Derek, I'm going to make all things new. I'm going to make you new, Brother Harold. I'm going to make you new, my sister. I'm going to pay this for you. You couldn't do it for yourself. I'm going to do this for you. You have tried. Like Sarah, you have got wore out. You have got frustrated. You have beat your head against the wall. You have quit church 10,000 times in your mind. You have said, I can't do this. And then God comes. You have felt your temper rise to the point. You felt like it was getting ready to turn loose, and all of a sudden something settled. Simon watches him. Just a couple more minutes. Simon, no doubt in his human mind, couldn't understand what was going on. And he sees him reel his head back toward that cross. And his energies are to the point that he can't even take another step. And I can hear Simon say, just a few more steps. He wasn't feeling sorry for him now. He was encouraging him. Just a few more steps. If I could be in his voice, I would say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then another step, and it would fall. And another step, and he would fall. If Satan would have only knew the complications of what was getting ready to happen. He owned you. He had a right to do what he wanted with you. But every step toward Calvary, every step towards Calvary, he's getting closer to setting you free. The greatest victory that ever happened was getting ready to happen. The mighty conqueror himself. It looked like the most vicious thing that there was. Let me just say this to you. This was not a defeat. This was a victory.
This enemy that was screaming and his buzzer of death was coming down against him. It had went into Job. It had went into David. It had went into the prophets of old. Some of the greatest men that ever lived. Some of the strongest warriors that ever lived. He was getting ready to sink his stinker for the last time. Brother Brown said he began to buzz around him. And he's going to do something to his enemy that not even his enemy can understand. You say, "Oh, Brother Ron, I've got an enemy. I've got an enemy." But can you look at your worst enemy in the world? I'm talking about go to Gutter City. Go to the worst enemy that you've got. And Jesus said, "Father, Father, forgive them. Wipe their slate clean. Don't leave even a dot on it. They have spit on me. They have cursed me. They have called me the devil. They have called me Beelzebub. They have screamed, 'Crucify me.'" God's in this building this morning, whether you're aware of it or not. Whether you know it or not, in the quietness of this morning, chains are falling off. If we could hear in the supernatural realm those things that have been haunting you in the middle of the night, that have been keeping you up, those chains, if we could listen, there's some chains that are falling on the floor right now. There's some demons that are losing their grip on you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And as Abraham dropped that last piece, and he dropped, listen, when God dropped his head, and he gave up the ghost, the price was paid. You in purgatory. You don't have to beat yourself no longer. The land of regrets is over with. The land of possibilities and the what ifs, let them be gone. Let the land of hate, let the land of prejudice, let the land of deep felt hurt, let it be healed. What happened at that meeting, sitting in a pew, I got set free. Yeah. I can't explain it, but those things I had been fighting with for years left me. Things that I'd been wrestling with and haunted by all of those years just lost its grip. Why? The sound of the last coin hitting the table. Oh. Brother Ron, I bet you preached that every Easter. I've never preached this before. The sound of the last coin hit the table. Last drop of blood dropped on the ground. I said, "One day there won't be pollution no more." I'm going to have a wife that's going to live in the city. The rivers won't run dry no more. The air won't be contaminated no more. That last drop of blood that bled down on top of said, "I'll pay the price for you. There might be universe after universe, but I'm going to purify you." Yeah. there might be a lot of people that say, I'm his wife. You know, you are.
Amen.
3 days. And this morning is the last morning. A lot of people can say a lot of things, but he said, I have power. A lot of preachers had done a lot of things, and priests had did a lot of things. But he's getting ready to do something right in the face of his enemy. Brother Brown said he walked up to that last door in hell. He knocked on it. It had had many of visitors. A lot of celebrities had walked through hell. He knocked on the door. And Brother Brown said, Satan, come to the door. And he said, there stood the mighty conqueror with his hand out. I want the keys. He said, that's the reason there's no arrows for his bow. There's no stinger for death no more. Satan don't even have the keys to his own house. You. He can't touch a hair of our head until God gets done with us. Death is only a travel bus for me to get on and go to my destination. When they were beating Jesus, they were doing you a favor. Death only does you a favor. Because about 2,000 years ago, some women went to his grave. And I'm done. Let's just shout. The greatest preacher that ever lived. The greatest king that ever walked in shoe leather. The greatest lamb that ever came to this earth. Got up. He didn't buy a tomb. He only needed to borrow one. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Hallelujah. When the redeemed are gathering in, he conquered every enemy. I can hear Brother Branham hundreds of times reminding the devil, Satan, you have been whipped. You have been defeated. You have been stripped of all of your power. Brother Ben said, when the weakest of Christians bow on their knees, the kingdom of hell shakes. Your turn now. Look at the enemy tonight. This morning in another realm and say, you are defeated, devil. I don't care what your sickness is this morning. I don't care what your problem is. Look at your enemy this morning. You are God's wife. You are the queen of heaven. Take that supernatural tongue of yours and speak to your enemy. And say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He's greater than cancer. He's greater than tuberculosis. He's greater than every sin that there has ever been on the face of the earth. And I am free. Same age. here. Let's play this organ. You gonna play this organ? She gonna play the organ? Yeah. Come on up here. We're not gonna dance. Don't she look good for 18 years old? Of a rapture in our blessed.